Well, for some weeks now, Centrelink has been sending out thousands of debt notices to current and former welfare recipients. It's part of an effort to claw back about $4 billion in welfare debt. But many of the recipients, and we heard from some of them on the program yesterday, say the new automated system is asking them to pay debts they don't owe. Yesterday, we also heard from Labor MP and Shadow Minister for Human Services, Linda Burney, who called for a suspension of the program until the problems are ironed out.
If there are mistakes in the system, an automated system, then I think the responsibility of any government is to stop using that system until they get it right.
Well, Christian Porter is the Minister for Social Services. I think we're speaking to you in Perth, so we appreciate you getting up early to join us on the program.
That's okay, mate. Young baby, so I'm up early anyway.
Right. Well, I'm pleased to learn we haven't woken you up unduly.
No.
Can we just pin down the detail of this actual problem? Because the opposition in calling for the system to be suspended has not been able to provide any data on the total number of debt notices sent in error.
No, and they haven't asked us about it either. So they've come out and asked for it to be suspended without having any information on it. But if I give you this example, since the start of the financial year, we've sent out 169,000 review letters. These are not debt letters. These are letters which use automated cross-referencing of information from the ATO to information received at Centrelink, which shows that there might be a discrepancy. They are polite letters, an initial letter which go to a welfare recipient saying that an issue has arisen, that there may be a discrepancy and we require some further information. You can go online and do that in a very seamless and easy way. Only in a very small number of instances does the extra information involve physically getting copies of pay slips or receipts or things of that nature from the people who received the letter, only in 2.2% of instances. So 169,000 letters, the complaint rate is running at 0.16%, right? So that's only 276 complaints from those 169,000 letters. And that process has raised $300 million worth of money back to the taxpayer,
okay,
which
just
was overpaid.
Hold on there. Is a complaint the same as a challenge?
No.
So what's the number of challenges?
Well, the challenge at this stage is simply, you just described it as challenge.
People that are disputing the letter, you can use whatever term is appropriate, but what's the number of those?
The letter actually asks people, so we expect everyone who receives the letter to come back with the required information, and that's as simple as going online, checking the information that we've got, adding any additional information where there's discrepancies from your recollection of what occurred. So the purpose of sending the 169,000 letters is that we want people to do something, but the number of complaints about the process where it goes to raising a debt has only been 0.16%.
So I'm reading between the lines here. You don't have a number in terms of the number of people that are challenging or disputing the request for information?
A basic mutual obligation in the system of mutual responsibility is that you're required to give information about your assets and your income. I mean, people might find that at times inconvenient, but that's simply the absolute basic part of the system that requires the person who receives taxpayer-funded welfare to give us information. And
You describe that process as...
You're almost asking me, Hamish, whether or not people like it or don't like it. I can't give you that information. I mean, people might prefer not to have to provide any information, but that's just the way the system works.
You're describing the process as a simple one, but there are these reports that suggest it's very difficult to log the information on the Centrelink website, people going into the Centrelink offices to try and do so, then being directed to the in-house computer terminals where they still can't log the information. Do you acknowledge that there are significant problems for people in actually providing this information when they get the notices?
Well, again, the complaints have been very low about the process, but anyone who is having any difficulties, of course, can seek an extension of time if they wish. But again, we're not seeing any sort of spike or increase in the type of usual complaints that we would get. And at the very end of the system, the sort of dispute, as you put it, around the actual debt. So when a debt is eventually raised, if there has been a discrepancy and if after asking for further information that discrepancy still exists and a debt's raised, we're not actually finding a significant number of increase of reports for what's known as a formal review. So, I mean, from what we've seen, in a high volume system, it's actually working incredibly well. Now, there will, from time to time, no doubt, be people who, for whatever reason, are experiencing difficulties getting online or having problems, but we're incredibly accommodating in those circumstances. And if anyone is having individualised problems, then they only send the information about their problem to Centrelink, and we'll do our level best to sort through that.
When I spoke to Linda Burney, the Shadow Minister for Human Services, yesterday, she was referring at the end of the interview to thousands of mistakes. Do I take it from what you're saying that you dispute that description?
Absolutely. I mean, where is she getting that from? So what's Linda Burney and Labor saying? That because we have a tiny level of complaints, so 270-odd out of 169,000 initial letters, we should stop a process which has already raised $300 million in taxpayers' money that should never have been paid in the first place, and over the course of the next 4 years is going to recoup $4 billion worth of taxpayers' money? I mean, is Linda Burney serious? I mean, the question is not whether or not this system is working. It absolutely is working. The question is, why on earth did Labor leave us with a situation where we're having to recoup $4 billion worth of non-compliance overpayment?
But there are accounts of people paying the debt even though they think they don't owe it. That's not a system working, is it?
Well, you know, if you cannot verify income levels that you were earning at the time, when we have verification of that through the ATO, as I say, you're asking effectively whether or not people like having to repay debts through fair and reasonable compliance measures. And there may be some people that don't particularly like doing that, but I'm sorry, that's just a basic fundamental part of a system of mutual responsibility. And you have a responsibility to ensure that the information about your assets and your income that is provided is accurate. And if even several years later, through our best endeavours of cross-matching information that you've given to the ATO with information that you've given to Centrelink, we think that there was a problem. I mean,
that cross-matching appears to be problematic in instances where people, for example, students or people receiving short-term payments are having their annual income, as reported to the ATO, averaged out across the number of fortnights in the year. Do you acknowledge that problem is occurring?
Well, again, of those 170,000-odd letters, there's only around 2% of occasions where we actually require documentary responses. Otherwise, you go
online.
Sure,
it's a simple question. Do you acknowledge that problem is occurring?
Well, what we do is send out an initial letter which says that we think that there is an issue that's arisen here. Now, if the issue is around the fact that there's been an annualisation of money that was earned in a short period of time, you go online and you explain that. That's it.
Do you know of that happening? Are you hearing from within the department that that is actually happening?
Oh, look, I'm sure that in a number of small instances that's happening. But so you go online, you respond by noting that that was the issue that was arisen. That's the end of the matter. And what we are doing is offering a stringency to the system that allows taxpayers' money that should not have been paid out to be paid out. Now, what this system is doing is actually raising real debts around real overpayments based on real cross-referencing of evidence. And so far, and you know, this is since 1 July this year, $300 million has been raised.
The Centrelink website, though, only advises people to keep their pay slips for 6 months. Do you see, therefore, why some people have a problem then with being asked to produce documentation dating back as far as 5 years?
Well, the documentation is not always just about pay slips, and in fact, usually the documentation is around other issues. But again, it's only 2.2% of the customers that have been requested to supply supporting documentation. So that's 97.8% of customers who don't need to supply anything, but who are requested to go online and update details, which we don't think is an unreasonable thing to do.
Sure, but if you've told them, or if Centrelink has told them, you only need 6 months' worth of payslips, and then they're being asked as a result of these debt notices to produce much documents from much further back than that, you can understand why it might be problematic.
Well, but the sort of documents that we're asking for are things like bank records, which you can access online going back many years. Now, again, I just don't think that that's unreasonable. I don't think that most Australians would think it's unreasonable that you go back, you cross-reference with information that an individual has given to the ATO with information that the same individual has given to Centrelink. If a discrepancy has arisen, you send a polite letter, you give plenty of time, you ask people to go online, correct the issue if they think corrections need to be made. But ultimately, if a real discrepancy does exist, then eventually we raise a debt. And that happens much later than this initial letter. And even then, there are many days in which you can dispute that debt if you think that a mistake has been made. And then when a repayment is arranged, it's arranged in a way that makes sure that it's financially suitable to the individual on time to pay arrangements. I mean, it really is an incredibly reasonable process. The question is just why wasn't the previous government, Labor, when they were in charge, engaging in this process?
Given, though, that you acknowledge some people are getting these notices in error, you dispute the number that Labor puts, but nonetheless you acknowledge it has happened. The minister responsible...
I'm not acknowledging that they're getting them in error. The letter simply says an issue has arisen around a discrepancy between information that was given by you, the welfare recipient, to Centrelink.
Fine. But it names a figure, right?
It names a figure
that they're going to be forced to repay if they can't explain that, right? The minister has said, we will find you, we'll track you down, you'll have to repay those debts and you may end up in prison. He said that on television. Can you not understand why some people might receive these notices? I take your point about it not being in error, that this is part of a process. Can you not see, though, why some people might find the whole thing quite terrifying?
Well, what you're saying to me, Hamish, is people over-respond, or if people find it inconvenient, that the response to that by a government should be to not do it. Now, if we don't do it, that is $4 billion worth of taxpayers' money that got wrongfully paid, that can never be recouped, and in incredibly difficult budget circumstances where we're trying to return the nation to surplus, we would have to try and find other ways to save that money. I mean, I think that this is about as reasonable a process as you could possibly devise. I doubt there'd be few Australians out there that think that we shouldn't continue with it. And of course, some people may prefer that the process not happen because they receive a letter and it inconveniences them during the course of their day or week. But unfortunately, that's something that is going to continue to occur, and it has to occur because it's reasonable to expect that the welfare system is stringent in that the money goes to the people that absolutely require it according to the rules that are in place.
Christian Porter, we'll leave it there. We appreciate you coming on. I know it's not specifically your portfolio, but nonetheless, good to have someone from the government. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Christian Porter is the Minister for Social Services. It's 10 minutes to 9.